Ernest, what's up? Look, you know how every new year we set these big goals, like saving more money, but somehow life just gets in the way? I mean, how many times have I told myself I'll stick to a budget only to see random delivery fees and subscription services eating away at my wallet? It's like the world is designed to spend our money. That's why I love Acorns. It makes saving and investing automatic so you can stick to your financial goals without even thinking about it. This episode of Earn Your Leisure is sponsored by Acorns. You've probably heard me talk about Acorns before, and I'm excited to share more about how it can help you too. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. Here's the best part. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the same spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. You don't need a ton of time. You can create your own Acorns account and start investing in just 5 minutes. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. For me, Acorns has been a game changer. I remember looking at my bank statements and realizing I wasn't making any progress toward my long-term financial goals. With Acorns, it was like flipping a switch. Now, every little bit of spare change I spend is automatically invested. Over time, those small steps have really added up. And it feels good knowing I'm working toward a better future without stressing about it every day. So head to acorns.com/EYL or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensations provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/EYL. Earners, what's up? You know what's crazy? I recently discovered that I was paying for a subscription that I hadn't used in over a year. I signed up for it, completely forgot about it, and it kept charging me every single month. Thanks to Rocket Money, I not only caught that subscription, but canceled it in just a few clicks. Rocket Money has been a game changer. It saved me time, money, and stress. If you're ready to take control of your finances, give Rocket Money a try. You won't regret it. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you can see all your subscriptions in one place and know exactly where your money is going. For ones you don't want anymore, Rocket Money can help you cancel them. Their dashboard gives you a clear view of your expenses across all your accounts, so you can easily create a personalized budget, track spending trends, and get alerts for unusual activity or bill increases. And here's the best part. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you. They'll handle customer service and get you the savings you deserve. How easy is that? So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/EYL today. That's rocketmoney.com/EYL. rocketmoney.com/EYL. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
All right.
We back. Welcome back. Yeah, man.
Welcome back, man. It's been a jam-packed week. Shout out to everybody that got the book.
Yes.
Out in stores now.
You deserve to be rich.
For sure, man. We had, you know, a lot going on. We did the book signings. We've done Market Mondays. We've done Blackout.
A lot of media.
It's a lot going on right now, man. For sure. But we're going to finish the game strong. And this is something that's vitally important because we haven't done it in a while. We have a few episodes, but they date back years ago when we actually break down stocks from a very, you know, beginning level. And we know we have Market Mondays every single week, shout out to Ian. But that show has become so much of a cultural phenomenon that it's kind of like double dutch. If you don't have some level of education, then sometimes the conversations might get a little intimidating.
Yeah, our conversations have advanced as the audience has matured, as the audience has been watching and educated themselves. It's not a beginner course anymore.
For sure.
But yeah, which is good.
this is the perfect time to revisit the start, because there's still millions. The vast majority of people still have not invested into the stock market. There's still millions of people that have not invested into the stock market. True. There's still millions of people that are still intimidated about stocks. There's still millions of people that don't have a retirement account. There's still millions of people out there that have never made a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and have watched.
It's beneficial to bring it back and to, you know, have conversations for those millions of people out there, right? Because it's a lot. So that's what we're gonna do today. This is how to begin in stocks. This is how to get started investing.
Yeah.
And it's perfect time because a lot of people have New Year's resolution to do better with their finance. That's like the number one resolution for people, to do better with finances. So to save more money, to start investing, to, and part of that, a major part of that is education. So a lot of people have asked me, like, if I never invested, where do I go? Like, what video do I watch if I never invested?
Yeah,
if I want to start, what do I, if I want to teach my kids how to invest, like, where do I start?
That usually is like the number one question. Is like, if I had $5,000, where should I put it in the market? Well, first of all, do you have a brokerage account? So, like, I feel like we haven't gotten to that point. We get asked that a lot. What brokerage account are we using? How we open a brokerage account? Yeah, we talk about futures and we talk about options, but do you even know how to open an account? That part is being left out.
So this is it. So we got a special guest, Chris Sane, somebody that, you know, I haven't seen on YouTube for a while.
Yes.
We got a chance to connect with him recently. And former athlete, Michigan State.
Spartans.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So play at a high level. But, you know, somebody like us, like, you know, we didn't really come from financial backgrounds per se, like as far as kids, like, you know, kind of learn finances as we grew up as adults. But he's developed a tremendous community online. Then he has 700,000 YouTube subscribers and like over a million followers on socials, all the socials combined, and a bunch of viral videos, like a bunch of videos that have over a million views on his YouTube channel. And he's a trader and an investor. And, you know, he's one of the people that's been online, that's been teaching people when it comes to financial literacy, when it comes to investing, stock investing. So a lot of people have been asking us, like, when you're going to do something with Chris. So it's all about timing.
Yes, man. For years.
It's all about timing.
Yep.
And, for like now is a good time. Now is a good topic. This is the good platform. Just, you know, it just felt like it was the right moment. So,
And I want to salute him too, for just as much as we've been watching him. He's been watching us and was super gracious and was like, yo, I love what you guys are doing. I've been loving what you guys have been doing. And so this collaboration today feels like, all right, the roads have finally crossed to a point where we're about to create magic.
For sure. So without further ado, let's bring Chris up if we can. What's going on?
It's good. What up, though?
What's up, man? How y'all doing? What up, though?
good, man.
We here, Michigan, man.
Representative Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
But you got the Detroit Lions gear on. You got the Cartier frame.
We true to it, Rashad. I told Troy, whether we 0-16 or 16-1, we go hard.
Y'all definitely having y'all way this year. Let's see. Good luck to y'all in the playoffs.
Yes, number one seed.
So y'all got a bye. So congrats to the Lions on a tremendous season. And shout out to every Detroit team. What up, though? We love Detroit, man. Shout out to everybody in Detroit.
Facts. So we're going to get into it. But before we start, I want to just let you tell your story, your backstories for our audience that may not be familiar with you, as far as how you got into the stock market. Like, what's your pathway to doing what you're doing now?
Absolutely. Rashad, you kind of led with it, man. I was a former Division I athlete, guys. And you guys already know from that route of playing sports and using sports to get up out of our environments, I used it as a vehicle, you know, to kind of change my life, to do something different, to see more and be more. But then what intrigued me along the journey, I fell short of actually accomplishing my goals of making it to the league per se. NFL, I played football and basketball, but football is what I played. And I was always intrigued with how do athletes go broke after accumulating so much money after their career is done. And so on average, the typical athlete, 3 to 5 years after their playing career is done, they have some type of financial difficulty, some type of financial struggle whether it be bankruptcy, whether it be going broke or running out of money. And so that intrigued me. And that was the very thing that kind of started my journey into getting into the stock market and just wanting to learn how to be better with money. And I always felt like if we could learn to live within our means, manage what we have, we could make the money stretch, because for so many of us, we are accustomed to doing a lot with a little. We are accustomed to doing more with less. And so I look at the market as no different. We just got a good start. And so I'm happy today that this is coming full circle so we can get back to the beginning, back to the basics, because there's so many people still, out of all the work and outreach you guys have done, out of all the work I have done to reach as many people as I can, collectively, we still have so many more to reach combined. And so the work is still there to do. And there's still many more people that needs to be introduced to just the simple fact of how to even invest in the stock market. And so that's what we're going to unpack on today.
Yes, that's a fact. Indeed. So we're going to get this started. Before we start, we do have an announcement. We had said this a few times this week, but there's one day left. So we came out with our book, our first book, You Deserve to Be Rich. And we had a special offer that we offered on Market Mondays, where if you buy the book, you get 30 days at EY University for free. So there's one day left in that promo cycle. So you have to go to You Deserve to Be Rich Deal. You Deserve to Be Rich Deal, all those words combined, .com. You Deserve to Be Rich Deal.com. And all the information is there. It's pretty simple. You can buy the book from any of the links that's on that website. After you buy the book, put your transaction number in the form that's on the page, your email, and you will be entered into EY University, and you will have 30 days, 1 month free. And you'll get access to everything. Troy's options classes, the real estate blueprint, the financial planning call. You can look at the past videos. The whole encyclopedia is there for you. So for the price of $30, you'll be able to get the whole entire EYL University curriculum for 30 days for free, no strings attached. And there's one day left in that offer. So go to You Deserve to Be Rich Deal. You Deserve to Be Rich Deal.com. Take advantage, man. We got a few more hours left to push for this book sale.
Yeah,
this
man. First
week. So
I told you, man, New York Times bestseller is cool, but being number one is even better. So, you know, the only thing we shoot for is to be number one.
For sure.
So, and it ain't going to be a Troy and Rashad win. It's going to be a community win because y'all all built this platform with us. So shout out to everybody that purchased the book. I'm looking forward to having everybody inside the university, man. Y'all going to be just in time for my next class. Shout out to y'all. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the deal. So, okay. So let's get into this. Let's get into this because, you know, it's interesting that we talk about blacks being like the quickest growing group when it comes to investing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, is important. And, like over, like, I think 60% of millennial blacks are now invested into the stock market. But when you take it as an aggregate, as far as like every black person from 100 years old to 18 years old, there's still around 40% participation in the market. Mm. So that means that there's still 60% of the people that's not participating in the stock market.
Right.
And that's just, you know, this conversation is for everybody. But of course, we know we have to, you know, prioritize our community. So I just say that to say there's a lot, and don't feel like you're alone. That's important too. Like if you haven't invested, don't feel like you're alone or this, you're like the last person on earth to learn about stocks. There's still a lot of people in a similar situation. That's why this is important. So I think we're going to start. We're going to go through some slides.
Let's
and we're
going
to have the conversation like in the middle of the slides.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to walk you step by step into your this financial.
I'm glad you just said that, because a lot of the conversations that I have is it too late? Right. Not knowing that there is no way to time it. The time is putting the actual investment to be inside of the market. So that conversation is going to get alleviated today, man. I'm excited. Chris, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it, my guy.
Let's cook. So how to start investing in stocks? And the three of us get this question all the time, so we wanted to lead with that, and we want to break it down as simply as we can. And so first, you need a brokerage account. What is a brokerage account? Okay, a brokerage account simply, guys, allows you to buy stocks, sell stocks, invest. Okay, and so some of the more notable names you might know of or meet, be familiar with, or you may not be: Vanguard, Fidelity. Those are two ones that has just been around for the test of time now. And if you are thinking long term, these two entities are ones you want to consider. Fidelity, Vanguard. You want to think about, once I do take this step to invest, let me open up a Fidelity account. Let me open up a Vanguard account. You want to start there with the premise in mind that you are thinking long term. Then you have everything from more newer apps, more user friendly ones like Robinhood, Webull, Interactive Brokers, Tasty Trades, to name a few. So listen, guys, it starts with, before you can invest, you have to have a brokerage account to even deploy your money to. Okay, and this is lateral from your job. This is separate from whatever you are getting at your place of employment. This is on you. The book came out. We're going to make sure this book become a number one bestseller. You deserve. This is about you. This is about you, guys. Okay, and so you need to make sure you have your own brokerage account. You're doing your own investing. You're taking your own finances and affairs in your hand. Okay. Next up,
and I'll take it even a step further too, because I want to kind of expand on that a little bit, because for some people, like, to even why investing is important or what a stock is, right? Like, we talk about stocks as far as that's ownership, and there's private companies and then there's public companies, right? So the public companies, anybody can own it, like Tesla, like Microsoft. A private company is like Earn Your Leisure, where only we own it, right? So it's important to invest in these public companies, because as their value goes up, your investment going to go up over the course of time as well, right? Mm-hmm. So the only way, we talk about inflation, the only way to beat inflation is to actually invest, right? Because that's how your money's actually working for you over the course of time. But another question that I get about the brokerage is, like, even like how to set it up. And it's really not too complicated, guys. Like, you go to the app store and you download Charles Schwab is another one, or you download Fidelity, and all of these apps and platforms have similar type of things where you just got to fill in your information. Mm-hmm. So they have to, it's called like know your customer, right? So they'll ask you your social, your number, your email. You have to provide this information, guys. Like, you can't try to.
I ain't putting my social in there.
You got to provide this information.
Yeah.
And then from there, you link your bank account to it. This is important for people to fully understand as well, because they're like, well, how do I get money into the account, right?
You got
to
fund it.
You link your bank account to it, and then you fund it. And then that funding goes both ways. So you put money in from your bank account. I'm going to put $2,000 from my bank account into Fidelity. And then when it's time to move from money from Fidelity to your bank account, vice versa.
Yeah.
Vice versa. But where it's held that this is important, but I know we're going to talk about retirement.
Can I give them a hack from what you just said? This is important too, because that transaction time, it can, if you're a new customer, that might take 5 to 7 days. And so for us, having money that we sent and we don't know where it's going and it's taking 5 to 7 days, it's a new account opening, you could feel a little angst.
Especially Robinhood.
Robinhood. But what you can do, right? And this is a good tip. I use E-Trade. And so when E-Trade, I found out the wire instructions, right? So when I get the wire instructions that come from E-Trade, now when I send the money, right, let's say I'm sending $5,000 to my E-Trade account, that's going to get there within 30 minutes rather than waiting 5 to 7 days. And so, yes, you can do the ACH transfers, which take 3 to 5 or maybe 5 to 7 if it's your new account, or you can get your brokerage's wire information and have that money expedited, because 5 to 7 days in the market can change a lot, right? Like we saw over the past week. Right, on Monday it's up, by Friday you could have lost a lot or you could have gained a lot. So you want to make sure that your money gets there in expedited fashion. Wire transfers is another way that you can hack that.
And then the last thing I'll say before we move on is that I used to get this a lot when people were talking about their 401ks. They have a 401k, the money's coming out of their checking, the money's coming out of their paycheck, And they automatically assume that it's being invested. And I ask, like, what are you investing in? And they're like, I don't know. Then I see their statements, and they're not actually invested in anything. When your money goes into a brokerage account, it goes into what's called a money market. Mm-hmm. That's like a savings account pretty much for a brokerage account. Like, it's sitting on the sideline. You have to direct where the money's going. So the next thing we'll talk about, like, actual investments. But don't think that, okay, I open up Fidelity, I link it to my Chase bank account, I put $2,000 from Chase into Fidelity, and now I'm invested into the stock market. You're not invested. But like I said,
that's not quite how it works.
That actually happened. Like I said, I saw that with retirement. When I was a financial advisor, I used to see that with retirement. People had money. They used to have like $20,000-$50,000 into their retirement account because they were never fully educated that you had to pick something. And they just, the default for their retirement plans was a money market account until they decided what they wanted to do with the money. They never decided what they wanted to do with the money. And the money was not growing. It's not, a money market is not invested, right? That's like a, like
I said, zero.
It's sitting on a sideline. So yeah, that's just important. Just because you open it, you put it in. Now from there, you have to actually put into an investment.
That's a fact. Chris, I'm going to go back up to this slide where we're looking at the brokerages.
Yeah.
Is there one that you prefer or the other, or is this case by case? Like, I know E-Trade is not on there. Everybody in EYLU knows I love E-Trade. But I'm using that because for informational purposes, it's easier for me. I love the way that we can get information. Is there one that is preferred or the other?
Vanguard for long-term, I prefer. For strictly long term, and or Fidelity. You can't go wrong if that's the mindset. I'm buying and holding this for at least 10 years. Vanguard and Fidelity are phenomenal. E-Trade, Robinhood, M1 Finance, some of those other ones are good too because they provide even more information and news and other things that is helpful to the user. So there's no order, but except for the long term piece, Fidelity and Vanguard are the ones you're not trying to trade in those. Vanguard, at least you're not using that to be a trader. You're purposely intently trying to invest. Robinhood, guys, the next one is, and Rashad touched on this, no go right here to the ETFs. We want to make sure we're being nuanced about this. Putting your money into the brokerage isn't investing. Here's where some of your money should go into. Number one being ETFs and growth stocks. What is an ETF? Exchange traded funds. Basically, you look at it like you're going to a mall. If your favorite store is inside of that mall, you can kind of similarly look at your stocks in a similar fashion. So it's like a basket of stocks. One thing it does for the truck driver, for the traveling nurse, for the lawyer, for the busy person, the busy parent, the mom, the teacher, the person that don't have a lot of time to sit around but know you should be investing, this is what you want to consider in terms of kind of taking some of the legwork that should be done, because you should know what you're investing in, but it kind of takes some of the legwork out of it for you so you can kind of invest into these basket of stocks, knowing that you're investing in quality, knowing that you're investing in blue chips, knowing that your money is going into the right vehicles that will serve you best long term. Okay, and so that's where these ETFs and growth stocks kind of come into play. Speaking of growth stocks, they have a different purpose. So you need to think to yourself, have you been investing? Like Shadi said, we got so many people still not yet invested into the market. And so we know we got more work to do. That's why we don't rest on our laurels. That's why we showing up every day, despite all we got going on, because we got to get you here. The growth stocks will allow for some of you to have a little more growth, to have a little more velocity into your investments, getting those gains that, say, a dividend stock may not get you. And we'll talk about dividend stocks later, but growth stocks are oftentimes not profitable, not yet profitable, en route to being profitable, but their whole aim and focus is to reinvest in a company to grow it as fast as possible. And so that's another vehicle and mechanism for you to consider when investing. What do I put my money in? You should consider an ETF, a basket of stocks, some that you might know. On Vanguard, for instance, would be VTI. If you rock with me, you know we go down through there. That's one of our number one holdings, VTI. You have VOO. You have VIG for if you want that information and growth. You have VUG. You have a variety of ETFs that are going to do the heavy lifting for you inside of those basket of stocks that will set you on your way. Then you have the growth stocks. Some of you may be familiar with the NASDAQ, or the QQQ, things that have some of our best tech companies inside of them that gives you that growth. You see, when Troy helped you guys hit the micro strategies out the park, well, if the options did what he helped you guys do, what do you think the stock did? You get those kind of growth opportunities in NVIDIA going up 200% in a year, in a Meta, in a Google, when you talking growth stocks, because their aim and focus is just a tad bit different than other entities and vehicles to invest in.
Yep. I think, and let's stay on this for a minute too, because even to break it down on a very, like, you know, ground level, as far as the difference between index and ETFs, mm-hmm. right? And I love to get your perspective, but how we've said before, like, an index fund is kind of like a supermarket, the whole mm-hmm. entire supermarket, right? So it's like the S&P 500, that's something that people should know if you're investing to the stock market. Standard & Poor's 500, a lot of people have heard of that. They don't know what it is. Like, mm-hmm. that's 500 companies, right? That's like a microcosm of the stock market, which companies from the automotive industry, energy, tech, all of that, and they all come together. So most people consider like an index fund as the safest way to invest, because that you get all of those 500 companies, or the Russell 2000, you get 2000 companies, where the ETF is like a specific aisle inside the grocery store. So mm-hmm. it's like you got the Indian aisle, or you got the Mediterranean aisle, right? Where you're just specific. So it's like, if we talk about NVIDIA a lot and we talk about computer chip stocks, well, there's an ETF called SMH, which only specializes in computer chips. So the benefit with the ETF to me is that if you're not fully confident, you know, you want to invest in one sector, but you're not fully confident in putting all your eggs in one basket with one particular stock, mm-hmm. then you get the all-star team, right? You get all of those different companies, right? Which will make up that ETF. It's not going to do as well as that one company if that one company strikes it out the park, but you've hedged your risk, mm-hmm. right? Because now you've got 10, 15 companies, but they're all in the same exact industry, mm-hmm. as opposed to just one leader in that industry.
Yeah, it's kind of like that table strategy that we spoke about years ago, where it was like, all right, I'm going to build my investment table on ETFs. So if it's SMH, where it has all the semiconductors, I can have SMH as one of my legs. If I would individually want to invest in NVIDIA, that can sit on top of the table. If NVIDIA rises, SMH is going to rise, right? Because of the allocation. And that's the beautiful thing about ETFs. The percentage that is invested in these companies change. So when TSM was running, TSM led the SMH ETF. NVIDIA has taken over the past 2 years. Now NVIDIA is the number one allocation inside of SMH. So that's beautiful. It actually is investing for you when you don't have to. Yes, the upside isn't as great, but the downside isn't as volatile as well. And so that's important to know. You talked about growth stocks. A lot of people always hear growth. They hear value. There's a difference, right? Growth, you brought up some of the mega cap companies, you know, the Mag 7 you talked about. But the value stocks are a little bit different, where it's like they're trading below their value, but they have upside, which could mean potential higher growth. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a beginner investor, am I looking for growth, or am I looking for value in the anticipation of a higher upside?
These are things that your age, your personal goals, these are those things that determines that. Okay, if you're younger, for example, you might look at a value that is got a little growth to it. If you are at a retirement age, if you don't want the volatility, then you may want something that's slow and steady. You may want something that's less volatile, so that you can rest easy at night knowing, yes, I'm invested, but I got a medium to low risk. I can keep my nerves in check versus the younger individual that's investing at some of my 18-year-olds that's in the money team, 24-year-olds. Some of you guys are able to get in some of those fast moving cars, if you will, that has a lot of runway ahead of them. Mm-hmm. So you might want to make sure you just simply looking at your situation, your age, your income, where you're at on your own journey. And these are the factors or some of the factors that come into play when you're thinking value versus growth, or when you want to do a mixture of the two. And I like what both of you guys said about the SMH and the aisle. Guys, I'm an athlete and I use sports to teach the stock market. And so you want to look at the ETFs and like Rashad said about the SMH, think about super teams. Think about having LeBron, KD, Steph, Wimby, and Carmelo on the same team. Think of owning the best 500 companies or the best top stocks in that sector in that mindset, when it helps you know, I got some of the best of the best. I got the best in class. I have the things that should do right by my money long term, always highlighting long term. So no, that's a good one with the value and growth, Troy.
Yeah. If somebody's like still trying to figure out, I'll give you an example, a company like Tesla, right? Like you look at, if you look at Tesla's chart over the past 2 to 3 years, maybe 5 years, we can go back 5 years, and you watch the movement, the volatility, Rick, this is a growth stock. We can see it has a long runway. It trades volatility, but we're in it for the long term, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look like a value stock, like a Verizon, I remember investing in a Verizon 10 years ago, and I'm just sitting there like, this thing's trade sideways forever, right? Forever. It does give a dividend, right? So there's value inside of that company. So it's a strong company. It does move up, but it doesn't move as quickly. So those would be like the differences if you're thinking value versus growth.
And then also it's like for even the index ETF individual stock, like sometimes you have like Apple, right? It's a company that I'm invested in on an individual stock. I'm invested in that company. And then I'm invested in the S&P 500, which Apple is a part of the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. Then I'm invested in a specific technology ETF called XLK, which has I think like 13 stocks in that. So, and Apple is one of the leading holder in that as far as the percentage makeup. So, I mean, the Apple from the large ocean to the smaller pond to the stream, right? So I have exposure on every level, but sometimes when you're in a company, that's a way to kind of look at it as well, where it's like, okay, I like this company, but I want to have some level of protection and some diversification where I can get other companies as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's a strategy too. It's like, you know, own the company, then own the ETF that the company is in, then own the index that the company is in. And most of the time, if it's like a good company, they're going to be in the S&P 500. They're going to be in a lot of like, mm-hmm. Apple, Microsoft, these are companies that are leading the world. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be in QQQ. They're going to be in XLK. They're going to be in the S&P 500. They're going to be in VOO. So it's a lot of overlap. A lot of times you'll see a lot of overlap in that. So that's important for people to understand, yeah. as well.
It's kind of one of those things when you tell people follow the money, right? Like if something's been added to the S&P, that's because a lot of money is being poured to it by hedge fund. People are investing in that company to now put it on that index. So we just saw Palantir get added to the S&P 500. Well, there's a reason. Palantir had an amazing year. It was up 279%. Mm-hmm. Now that's added into the S&P 500. So follow the big money. I'm glad you brought up Vanguard. These institutions don't invest into these companies for no reason. It's because right. they're trying to make money as well.
Before we go to the next slide, I want to ask you a question. Because another thing is, like, people was like, okay, how much should I invest? That's a big question.
Good
right?
question.
So what's your thoughts on that and like dollar cost averaging? Like, do you encourage people to take the dollar cost averaging approach?
I do. I do. My thing, and we know the numbers, Rashad and Troy, we need as many people investing as possible. So because they allow fractional shares, because they allow different ways to get into the market.
Talk about that. Like, explain what fractional shares are.
Fractional shares means you can buy a fraction of a share. So if a stock, say, is $500 and you don't have $500, but you want to own that stock, you can pay $50 or you can pay $150 or $200, whatever you can afford, whatever is feasible for you. After your bills is paid, after you have handled all your responsibilities and you got this money allocated aside for investing, if you don't have $500, you can still put in what you do have, whether that's $50, $100, $5, whatever it is. Now, the goal, we won't want you to stay there. The goal is to practice the habit of, you know what, instead of blowing the money, I put what I had and could into this stock, even if it was a fractional share. Because guess what? With a fractional share, you're still getting a percentage of that stock on the amount you invested. So Rashad just told you guys about NVIDIA. Troy just told you guys about Palantir. These are two phenomenal companies that have phenomenal years. Whether you had $10,000 or $500 invested in it, if the stock double, your $500, your fractional shares will double. The amount you invest will appreciate with the percent gain of that stock. So yes,
it's important for people to even when picking a brokerage, because not all brokerages have fractional shares.
Very true. Very true.
If you know, that's something that you're going to be like, you know, if you're going to be investing small amounts of money, like Robinhood has fractional shares. So you could just Google, you know, does this brokerage allow fractional share? That's important because, like you said, I mean, if you're invested in a company and it's $1,000 and then it's like you got to wait 6 months to get the $1,000, that's going to stop you from investing as opposed to investing $100 every single month and getting a fractional share of that. Yeah. So that's important.
The fractional share part is important. Also, we grew up in an age where you actually had to have a minimum to have a brokerage account. Mm-hmm. That's not true anymore. There are plenty of brokerage. These are the things you should research, right? Is there a minimum amount needed to open a brokerage account? I know sometimes it was 1,000, then it got down to 500.
Used to be 3,000.
Exactly. Yeah. And now there are plenty that have no minimum. So when people say, how much do I need to start? How much are you willing to start with, really?
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the better question. How much are you willing to start with? And our thing is we got to repair our relationship with money. So I would rather us start small, smart with what we have, so we can start developing good habits. It's about changing what we were once doing to trying to do what we should have been doing all along. If we can start 5, 50, 100, whatever you have, and then make it a goal. Make it a goal to say, I want to get my first 1,000. I want to get my first 5,000. I want to get my first 10, but I had to start somewhere. And I remember starting with this. And so Troy is right. Pick a brokerage that at least allow you to start with what you got versus letting it deter you. And then you hold off for another year and you letting another year go by without you investing. And like Rashad told you at the beginning of this episode, inflation will eat you up and leave you in the dust. If you don't get invested and be in it for the long term, your money is not going to be able to work on your behalf. So even if it's a fractional share, that's imperative that you at least do that, because that's still better than doing nothing.
And then talk about dollar cost averaging.
And dollar cost averaging, DCA, you might hear that lingo used on CNBC and shows like that that talk about investing. It simply means allocating a certain amount every single time you get paid, whether that's biweekly, weekly, monthly. So if you buying 250 of a fractional share, you're buying 250 every Friday, no matter the price. 250, 250. 250, whether it's an up day, a down day, whether the price is up, lower, you are repeating the same habit every day. Your dollar cost averaging, whether the stock is up or low, and you're getting the median of all of that over the long term. And so the goal is for at the end of your dollar cost averaging for you to have a decent average cost, so that once the stock appreciates in value, you can kind of see that return on your investment. So dollar cost averaging is also something you can commit to. It's no different than letting the money get automatically withdrawn out your account to pay the light bill, to pay your Verizon bill. You want to set up something similar. Once you have budgeted, you want to set up and have something similar to dollar cost average into your ETF, into your stock, your individual stock, into your dividend stock, into your high yield savings account. All of these habits can be replicated across the spectrum on what you should be doing on a consistent basis.
And that's something that's important too, because that's another hurdle that stops people. They're like, I want to save up to invest. Because it's like a lot of times people think like you got to have a lump sum. There's two ways to invest, right? The dollar cost average method, where you put money in weekly, you put money in two times a month, you put money in monthly, same amount every single month. Or you can do a lump sum. I'm going to put $10,000 into the market. Now, the problem with that is that a lot of times it's difficult to get the lump sum. Mm-hmm. And something always comes up. It's like, if it's a goal to save $5,000, your tire blows out and your kid, you got to, you know, get braces, and something always happens. So it stops you from that goal because you're not able to save up the money. But even if you were to save up the money, it's actually been researched that for the average person, it's difficult to kind of pick the bottom of the market. So it's been proven mm-hmm. that over the long haul, dollar cost averaging, your returns are better than putting a lump sum of money into the market. So if you had, let's say, $12,000, just to make it an even number, it's better to put $1,000 a month into the market as opposed to having $12,000 and just trying mm-hmm. to pick the right time. That's difficult. You can do it, but that's a little bit more. That's hard.
You spot on. Dollar cost average eliminates your ability to try to time the market. You're just always investing. You're always buying. And we should always be buying. If you have a stock that you want to hold for the next 10 years, you should always be buying it, especially you should be considering buying more on a red day, down day, or 5% down. Have benchmarks you set. If my stock is 5% down from the 52-week high, if it's 10% down from the 52-week high, if it's 20% down from the 52-week high, these are my cues to buy. Buy more on top of the dollar cost averaging you was just naturally doing. Like Rashad said, out of your check every 2 weeks, you was already putting the money in. But if it comes down significantly, guys, we need to see that as an opportunity to buy more. Oftentimes we talk about, we love a sale any other time. Flyers we like to get, we don't mind getting something on sale. However, only in the stock market, when their assets are on sale, do we now stop doing what the very thing we should be doing. We stop dollar cost averaging. We stop buying on a consistent basis. No, that's when you want to get that asset at the lowest price possible, because you're preparing yourself for the better gain and return once it starts its uptrend again. And so these are the little things that come with it that you can get deterred as a new investor. We hear this all the time. Oh, my money went down. We already looking at it wrong. You know what I'm saying? We already looking at it wrong, and we need you to understand it's going to go down. That's your cue to buy more. You need to just, you don't need to worry about if it went down. Where is it going to be 3 years from now? Where is it going to be 5 years from now? Is the question you should be saying. And so as it goes down, that's your chance to get it lower. We understand buy low and sell high in every other context, except when it comes to investing. Mm-hmm. We got to change that. And so, guys, dollar cost average, buy stocks when they're low, buy consistently, and then have a mechanism in place. On top of dollar cost averaging, we may double our investment if we can, if it's 5% down, 10% down, 20% down, if we have a long-term outlook, okay? Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is having a plan, and it kind of set. I like the parameters around what you're saying, right? We're going to dollar cost average. Number one, we're going to look at that asset and see if it's depreciated, whatever that percentage is. I think that's important. People get confused into saying, well, what stock should I be buying, right? What's your thoughts around looking at around where I'm already invested in and starting there, right? So if I have an iPhone, I should be investing with Apple. I'm already invested in the company from the consumer side. What's your thoughts around that mindset?
I love that you brought this up. I often say this, and sometimes this don't go over well. You invest in what you know, like, and love when you're first starting out. That's still better than doing nothing. If we got our phones right here. This is an Apple phone that's on Verizon service. I own both of those stocks. Okay, but now we're seasoned investors. We know way more than we know the fundamentals of the company. So we're farther down the road now. But when you're first starting off, invest in what you know, like, and love. Anything that you use consistently, patronize consistently, products you like or use on a regular, that's a good place to start, because at least you have an affinity and some type of relationship and or connection with that asset that you're now investing in. You're not just being a consumer. So start there, but then you might learn down the road, like, oh, this is a good company, but this is not a good stock. Then you can try to get deep and go off into the weeds a little bit and figure out those nuances that this is a good company, but it ain't a good stock. Let me not invest in this and move on. But starting out, I'm a big proponent. Get started, number one, dollar cost average, and consider investing in what you know, like, and love. At least it gives you a platform and a foundation to start with. I ain't saying you got to stay there. I'm just saying start there before you branch out. So that's how I feel about that, Troy.
It's important, right? We went to watch the curriculum being taught in the schools, and it was a lesson on what they should invest in. And the interesting thing was, like, they had an Apple iPhone, right? They ordered Chipotle on Uber Eats while wearing Nikes. I'm like, that's five companies right there that you can
buy. Companies right there.
While you're sitting there.
Yeah. So,
like, people think it's like, wait, how do I know the companies? How do I know the company? You are already patronizing with the companies, whether you know or not.
You got it on.
It's good to mirror success. And success that most people have in a stock market without even knowing it is their 401k.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's successful because it's a workable model. It takes money out of your paycheck every single month, every single time you get paid. So you don't even realize it. That's dollar cost averaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's not invested in individual stocks where you have to be a stock market genius to pick. It's invested in index funds and mutual fund type of portfolios where you have a group of stocks. That's a workable model to follow. So you as a regular retail investor, you can follow that same blueprint, right? Have a disciplined amount that's coming out twice a month or once a month, just like your 401k that's been proven to work. Invest in an index fund, just like your 401k that's been proven to work, right? Over the course of time, I like what you said as far as you could do both, as far as the lump sum and the dollar cost averaging, where you have $200 a month that you're going to put into the market no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Every the 15th of every month, $200 is going into the market. Let's say $100 goes into S&P 500 and $100 goes into QQQ. And that goes every single month. But then, you know, you see opportunity, because once you start to realize how market trends work, and, you know, we might have something where the stock market goes down 30%, right? And now you see buying opportunities where you can add more lump sum. This might have been money that you might have $3,000 that you just got back from your tax return. Now, in addition to the $200 that you've been putting in, now you're doing the lump sum adding, because you do want to buy low and sell high. Unless you're dollar cost averaging, then you're buying at all different costs. But the buy low, sell high is still a mentality that you still want to have, as far as, especially for lump sum. You never want to buy something at the very highest point possible. Because like you said, that's when you start to say, yo, where's my money at? Like,
yeah.
Even Damon John told us a story. Like, he invested in the stock market in like the summer of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what happens in September?
Yeah.
9/11, the stock market crashes and he loses millions of dollars on paper. He panics. He sells his position because he thinks it's going to zero. But that's the story. And this is somebody that was already a millionaire. He was already successful. So it's like, that happens all the time. You buy at the highest point possible. It's a natural correction that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the computer and you're like, I put 10,000 and now I have 6,000. This is a Ponzi scheme. I want my money.
They lied to me.
Yeah. So yeah. To avoid that, don't chase whatever is at the highest point. Yeah. Wait for it to come down.
Yeah, and it will. That's just the natural cycle of it. At some point, there's going to be a correction. And by definition, correction is anything over 10%, right? So if a stock pulls back 12%, 13%, up to 20%, this is a correction, right? Anything before that is a pullback. So anything from 0 to 10%, that's considered a pullback. That's going to happen, and naturally it should. It gives opportunity for new people to invest. People always say buy low, sell high. I'm telling you, buy low and hold long term.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, especially if I'm beginning, right? Because if I start selling high, then I'm going to have my initial investment, hopefully, but I might sell out of the position if I keep taking when it gets to a high. So make sure that you allocate a plan in place to say, all right, well, I've hit a threshold. This is where I'm going to take a little bit of profit. Take some profit. You should. Don't take all the profit. A lot of times we're like, oh, wait, we made $3,000. I'm taking it out. No, you want your money to grow. That's the point of this.
Sure. We have a mechanism for that too. When we get the question, coach, when should I take profit? How do I take profits? That's a system too. So to Troy's point, when your money runs up, if you have, let's say you have 100 shares, you can sell 50 shares to take some profit, to lock some of that gain in while still holding 50 and allowing that to run.
Earners, what's up? Look, the holiday season is supposed to be about joy and celebration, but let's be real. Finances could take a serious hit this time of year. Have you ever found yourself dipping into your savings or even adding to your credit card debt just to cover some holiday expenses? I know I've been there, and those months of catching up afterward, they're not fun. But what if you could approach this holiday season differently without the stress? That's where Chime comes in. With a Chime checking account, you get features designed to help you stay in control of your money, like no monthly or maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, and my personal favorite, getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Think about it. No surprise fees draining your account and the flexibility to handle those holiday expenses when they pop up. Let me tell you about SpotMe. I remember a time when an overdraft fee hit me just because my timing was off with my paycheck. It was frustrating and unnecessary. With Chime, you don't have to deal with that. SpotMe lets you overdraft up to $200 without fees, and your next deposit just covers the balance. And here's something unique. Chime is all about community. You can even get a boost from a friend to temporarily increase your SpotMe limit. And when you help a friend out, they can boost you back. It's a real give and take that makes managing your finances feel a little more supportive. Millions of Chime members are making financial progress every day. To date, Chime has spotted members over $32 billion in transactions through SpotMe. And with access to over 50,000 fee-free ATMs, you can take care of your money anytime, anywhere. So enjoy the holidays while keeping your financial goals on track with Chime. Open your account in just 2 minutes at chime.com/earn. That's chime.com/earn. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debt card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Direct deposit timing depends on submission of payment file. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limit. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs and for OTC withdrawals.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
If the eventual run continues in that stock. However, the profit that you now have, you can go shop around to see if there's any other better opportunities for that profit you took to deploy your money into, and or wait to the stock that you just took the profit from to retest those levels that Troy just gave you and then redeploy that money in either at or below your average costs to rinse and repeat the process. Because it's over time, it's going to go right back to some of those previous levels that it achieved along the journey. And so if you have the right mindset, you can play profit taking in that manner. And you can choose whether you want to sell half or sell a third or buy and hold forever. You can massage that a little bit, but have a plan for what do you want to do and or an exit plan in case leadership change. In case the CEO leaves, in case the board is changed, these are some of the things as new beginner investors you want to be mindful of if you're thinking about selling. You're not just selling for the sake of selling. You have to have a vehicle as to why you're selling before you make that exit, because you should always be invested. You should always remain in the market long term is the ultimate goal.
Chris, I want to touch on something because we use the word love. And when people say that they love a company, I often think of emotion. What role or psychological factor do you think emotions have to play, or if they have a role inside of investing?
You have to keep your emotions in check. We always say in my community, we don't fall in love with any of these stocks. We ready to sign on papers any given time. And so with us, I don't let you fall in love with a stock. There are a tool for you to get to your financial goals, reach financial independence, or reach financial freedom. Far as loving them, never selling them, we don't subscribe to that per se. However, you can be in a relationship for a season with a stock. You know what? I rocked with Apple for the last 3 years. Okay, that's fine. But that don't necessarily mean you're married to it, that if Tim Cook get to acting up, that we won't pull the trigger and find another asset to put that and deploy that money into. So we don't allow love to exist in investing in our stocks, because sometimes management change, things go out of season. You see Blockbuster and Netflix, you have things like that come along. You have variety of things that will make you make the decision that, you know what, it's time to exit. And I'm big on who the leadership. I'm big on who's at the helm. I invest in people, you guys, other good, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. I'm looking at people, okay, on top of the company you birthed. If that change, I got decisions to make. I ain't saying it's an automatic sale, but I have decisions I then need to make. So that's how we look at keeping emotions out of investing and sticking to your thesis that you laid out from the start.
All right. So let's go into, next slide. Dividends. That's something that people talk about a lot.
Dividends. Now, 75% of companies pay a dividend, and that's simply the retained earnings that companies are paying. But oftentimes those 75 companies are, we're talking about your blue chip, your old guard companies. They're so profitable that they're now deploying the money into their shareholders. Okay. And so dividend stocks are, Troy alluded to it, Rashad alluded to it, Verizon. Think Verizon, think Coca-Cola, think Pepsi. Think Modern, think about those names that you know or are familiar with that's been around for a long time. They're done growing. They're not the hot stocks that people are talking about. That's one clue that you can use to understand whether or not something is at that stage that they could be paying potentially a dividend. You can also look at dividend kings, dividend aristocrats. You have other ways to kind of figure out who are these companies that are paying dividends, which can serve as some type of passive income for you as the shareholder. Okay, now you have to understand, people that are dividend investors have a different focus and a different goal in mind. Okay, and so if you're thinking dividends, you might not want the volatility. You might not be looking for all the growth. You just might be wanting a little kickback on the amount you have invested. Okay, and so those type of companies are there in the market for you to consider. Stocks like a Tesla, which are growth companies, stocks that are still in that growth mode, CrowdStrike, other stocks that you might hear that are newer, younger, they're not at that stage to be paying out a dividend to shareholders yet, because they're still reinvesting all their money back into the company to allow it to grow further and do more innovation. So understand the difference when you're thinking about dividends. Then you have REITs. For all my real estate people out there, you have real estate investment trusts. And these vehicles allow you to invest in companies that are solely focused on real estate. Okay. And so they too pay a dividend. That's why a lot of people lean towards some of those stocks. So think about this. If you guys are in Atlanta, if you guys are in New York, think about your malls. Think about your CVSs. Think about some of the buildings that those places are in, that their mall is housed in. Those are REITs. Okay. Then you have medical. Think about your hospital. Think about your grocery store. Think about the building. We're talking infrastructure. Those are ways for you to invest in some of those vehicles, which they are required to pay a dividend. Okay. And so there's ways to make passive income through dividend investing, reinvesting. If you got a nice slant towards real estate and you kind of want to stay in that lane on the top of the properties you might own, but do it through investing in the stock market, REITs are things you can consider alongside dividends.
Yeah. And it's important to know, especially from a dividend standpoint, the more you own shares in the stock, the more obviously they're going to pay back to you. And I always tell people, right, like try to get to a threshold or a goal, yep, right? Whether it's going to have one share to start with, maybe by the end of the year, I want to have 10. Hopefully I get to 100. I always say 100 is a good threshold, right? Because that allows you to use other derivatives to now trade, right? When we're talking about options, having 100 shares of it equals one call or a put. So the more you own, number one, you can now trade differently, but it also gives you voting power, right? So you'll start getting emails from some of these companies, whether it's Microsoft or Apple, because they're going to have board meetings. They're going to have annual meetings that you're going to get invited to and have privy to watch. So there's benefits that come with owning shares. Dividends is one of them, but there are also other benefits as well.
Let's tell them this, Troy. Some growth companies become dividend companies. They end up paying a dividend, maybe because the profitability is well, their balance sheet allows them to. So some more companies now, for instance, Meta would be more is a growth company, and it's still got more growth in it, but they're now paying a dividend. What you will see when companies that are currently growth companies, but they have moved into paying a dividend, their dividend payout will be a lot smaller. So if you look at the dividend payout of Meta versus the dividend payout of Main Street Capital or Capital Southwest or Verizon, you will notice a vast difference in the dividend yield. So understand that, yes, some growth stocks are reaching that level of growth where they are paying a dividend, but that dividend is smaller to start out and it will get bigger and snowball years down the road. But right now you have some of those dividend kings and some of those dividend aristocrats that are simply reeling in shareholders by way of the payout of the dividend yield.
And there's nothing you need to do, right? This is automatically going to happen.
Automatic.
They're going to send you an alert saying that there's a dividend being paid out. It's going to go directly into your account. So if you have shares, it's going to add into the value of those shares.
And let's say this, add this to them, Troy. Dividend payouts come out. Some pay weekly, some pay monthly, most pay quarterly. You need to know. You can build a whole system on certain stocks that will pay you monthly, certain stocks that will pay you weekly, and certain stocks that will pay you quarterly. You can have a whole formula in terms of how you pick and tier your stocks so that they can pay you in that manner, and you always get something coming out. And so that's the other thing. They pay in different time frames.
And also, if you want to accelerate your growth, you can choose to reinvest the dividend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with the company, whoever you're holding with, right? And that's, you're just buying more stock, buying more shares. But so you're not actually taking $500. If they give you a dividend for $500, you just use that to put it back into the market.
Yeah.
And that's just a click of a button, right? If you wanted to have reinvested, you just actually click that as an option on your brokerage account, and it'll do it for you. Again, this is automatic. You don't have to do anything.
Would you recommend investing in a company just for a dividend?
Again, that type of question depends on the person's situation. So like if they were solely looking for a dividend payout, or like, for instance, guys, I have a dividend portfolio. It's more for teaching purposes, but it helps me to teach people better. So Main Street Capital and Verizon, for example, and Altria are some of the best paying dividend stocks. But I use it to show the masses that this can pay my consumer's energy bill, or we in Michigan, DTE. Okay. And so when they see what my dividend payout is, and then I show them what the bill was on my energy and gas bill, they're seeing the correlation that this had the ability to pay this. Obviously, we're dripping. We call it dividend reinvestment.
That's a drip.
We're drip. being back into the play. So we're not actually paying it with the dividend, but we're showing them that it could actually pay a bill. And what Troy told you guys is key. The more money you get into the dividend, the bigger the payout. So you could get to a level where it could do something more substantial. Rashad talked about recently for you guys about letting your investments pay for your lifestyle. You can do that through dividend investing. That just take a lot of money. Or you can simply do it through long-term investing and you will see it happen and take shape organically over time. It's ways to do it and it's possible that it can be done.
Yeah, and I think you gave out a bunch of good dividends. If anybody's looking at dividends, Altria is that was probably one of the top performing ones last year. You talked about Chevron, Merck, PepsiCo, Coke, yeah. Verizon, which we spoke about. So they're out there, and it's a quick search, right? Like if you're on any of these publications, Morningstar is a good source if you're going to use that. They'll tell you how they're performing. You can watch this on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the REITs, it's important too for people to know the difference between equity and mortgage REITs, right? When, like the mortgage REITs is like mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah.
And equity REITs is like the actual malls and the physical property. So if the real estate people, those are like the two forms of real estate that you can invest in the market, you can actually invest like in the stock market and have that real estate exposure for people that don't necessarily want to go in and just buy a bunch of properties and deal with that. Issues. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's slip on to next.
Like button and share, ladies and gentlemen. Very
good. IRAs and retirement account. Make sure I hit the like button. Make sure you guys share this. IRAs and retirement accounts. What are the options? Guys, these are things. Rashad alluded to this. You have some of these already. Some of you have been investing blindly and passively just through your job and dollar cost averaging. So some of the things we talked about in our lesson today, you have been doing just by happenstance. Traditional Roth IRA are some investment and retirement accounts. You have your 401k. You guys all may be familiar with that. If you have a W-2 type of job, your 403b, myself and Troy, we were former educators, and so we know about the 457. You got your health savings account. You have various IRA and retirement vehicles to invest in. Let me break down this traditional Roth IRA, okay, and the Roth IRA. These two vehicles, okay, there's never no knock to investing, but they have caps, they have limitations, they have income limits. Okay, and so if you make a certain amount over a certain threshold, then this might not be readily available to you. You might have to do a Roth conversion. Okay, you have to do something different, but a Roth IRA is after tax dollars that you guys will be investing. So after your money has went into your work 401k that they automatically debited out of your account into your retirement. Hopefully you got that at least 7% or 15%. We got to do better with our allocation. OK, after tax dollars would then go into your Roth IRA, similar to what Rashad told you guys earlier with you need to get your own brokerage account. You got to have inside that brokerage account a Roth IRA as well so that you can put up to the limit, which this year is $7,000 into that. And if you're over 50, you can put up another $1,000, which would get you up to $8,000 on a year. And so these are other things you can do in addition to your stocks, in addition to your ETFs, in addition to trading options, in addition to your money markets. These are things you can do as well on the wealth building journey, even as a beginner.
Yeah, and the HSA thing is something that people don't talk about a lot either, because
they don't.
That's important to know.
That's a game changer for me, the HSA, health savings account, guys, just so you know the acronym, health savings account. So whether you're married and or single, if your insurance has a HSA, a health savings plan, you can use the money to take care of doctor bills, appointments, co-pays. But whatever money isn't used, the HSA invests in it, invest it for you inside some of their allocations. They have mutual funds that you can pick from, growth, tech, some of the things Rashad told you guys about earlier, growth, tech, you can do energy. They have it all inside the HSA. Just type health savings account, okay? And you will see like healthequity.com will come up. You will see certain things come up. And if you invest inside that, I know being married, we can put up to a little over 7,000, maybe 7,800 a year into this. And guess what, guys? It reduces your taxable income. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's another way for on that front for you guys to also be doing the right thing by your money, doing right by your money, but also reducing your taxable income. And that money, if not used for a copay, simply is there growing on your behalf. And that can snowplow pretty big for those of you that stay on top of your health and wealth.
You can use it to, you can 65. So if a lot, that's going to be a question. People are like, well, if I don't use, you're supposed to use it for medical expenses. If you don't use it for medical expenses, if you can use it after 65 without getting penalized.
Yep. So
it's another form of retirement. Right.
Another form of
saving money that you have to pay, like at deductibles or like you said, out of the pocket medical expenses, but it's invested in the market. But as that's growing, if the money that you don't spend, so if you're 65 years old and you have $100,000 in your HSA, now that effectively is like another IRA for you, because you can use that for your retirement without getting penalized. So if you use it before that for anything other than medical expenses, you get penalized. But if you use it after 65, that's important for people to fully understand. So it's a way to definitely, kind of hedge with the medical aspect of it, but also it's like a double-edged sword where you're saving for retirement also if you don't use it.
Yeah. Chris, you brought up something in terms of education, us both being in education, about maximizing these allocations. Now, at 25, I'm fresh into the game. I'm about to make $65,000 for the year, $70,000. You're not thinking, hey, I should take the largest percentage. It's like, all right, what's the lowest I could put? 3%? I'm going to do that. Talk about the mindset and the shift, because people are looking like, what can I do right now? Like, this is something that you can go to your HR department like on Monday, right, and say, hey, I want to actually max out my 403B. Talk about the importance of that, because I don't think people really understand it. There's that one guy that comes once a year to talk to you about it at lunch, and you never see him, and then you just forget about it. Talk about the importance.
It's so important because time is our greatest asset. And so the earlier you can do these things, take advantage of all these vehicles, the bigger your pot will be, the bigger your nest egg will be when it's all said and done. So listen to this. You can't miss what you never had. You can't miss what you never seen. If you take that allocation that they're going to by default have it at between 1% and 3%, if you move it to 7% or 15% and you get used to living your lifestyle around what your check will then be when that comes to you every 2 weeks or how often you get paid, you won't miss it because you didn't see it. It's only when you see, oh, man, my check $3,000, you think you got $3,000 to spend. OK, but if you never seen 3000 or whatever your check may be, because it is going to something that's going, your future self is going to thank you for. That's how you get ahead of the game. And so the earlier, if you're 24 years old and you're seeing this, the earlier you can go into your employer, your place of employment, and tell them, if I'm receiving a 401k contribution, can you make sure my allocation is at least 7 to 12%? 15% is on the higher end, but that would even be good if you can make that shake. If you're still living at home and you don't have, and your mom is letting you do your thing and you're not having a whole bunch of responsibility, put it at 15% until you get your own place and then scale it back down to 7. But you can't miss what you never had. Okay. And so if you get that mindset early, you're off into the races. Okay. For me, it kind of clicked when I was around 27. Between that 27 and 29 year range for me, you know what I'm saying? But listen to how it happened though. My wife, I saw her 401k killing mine. I'm looking like, what am I doing? My allocation was poor. my allocation wasn't where it needed to be. I'm looking like, man, I was an administrator in higher education for 10 years. What am I doing? My investments, because of what I was controlling, blew my higher education job, which was good benefits. It blew those, and they blew that 401k out the water. That showed me the importance of, man, my wife's retirement was way higher than mine, simply because hers was like at 12 or 15 the whole 10 years she was in the health field. And so Troy brought it up, but it's need to be said. Do it as early as you can. Your future self will thank you later.
And then also, before we leave this topic, it's important for people to understand the 401k, 403b, 457, like, they'll give you a bunch of different options. A lot of times people don't invest because they don't know how to go about it and they're intimidated. One of the easiest ways is to pick a target date fund. So a target date fund is it calculates your age and the age that you would be like around 60 or close to retirement. So it might be 2030, 2040, 2050, depends on how old you are. And the whole theory with retirement plan is that you got to be aggressive when you're young and conservative when you get older. So it automatically changes over the course of time. So that's a very cookie cutter, easy approach to take if you are like unsure of like 20 different options that you have available to you. The target date is something that is recommendable. I used to recommend it when I was an advisor. It's like, that's something that is kind of does the work for you, and you don't have to like worry about changing it every 5 years and switching the allocations. And then sometimes you have a Roth 401k component too in your job. That's important to ask, because the difference between the Roth and the traditional is that one takes money, you save money today, which is a traditional one, you save money later, which is the Roth. So it depends on your situation. But if you have, let's say, $1 million in retirement, and you took out that whole $1 million at one time from your 401k, you would get like $600,000 net, because that is fully taxable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important for people to fully understand, especially when you think about your retirement. You think that you got a certain amount of money, but you don't realize that that's taxable, state and federal tax. That's why a lot of people move to Florida when they retire, because there's no state tax. But regardless of where you live, you still got to pay federal tax. But if you have the Roth, if you have $1 million hypothetically, and you took out all $1 million at one time, you would get $1 million because it's not taxable. But you didn't get a tax benefit when you put the money in today. Mm-hmm. So that's important for people to understand as far as the tax, because we didn't talk about taxes at all. But even like capital gains,
mm-hmm. Short term, long term,
that's important for people, because it's like you do a lot of like trading or selling stocks, and you don't realize that you're racking up a tax bill. And then at the end of the year, you like, damn, I got to pay taxes. I didn't even know I had to pay taxes on this. Like, I kept it in my brokerage account. I didn't put it in my bank account. But if you sell a stock, you pay capital gains tax on that stock.
Yeah.
You don't pay capital gains tax on your retirement, but you do pay federal and state tax if it's not a Roth. So understanding that is important, because you don't want to get like 20 years down the line and it's like, damn, I wish I had a Roth, because now I got to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars because I have millions of dollars in my 401k.
Yeah, and you don't want to put the profits, if you're talking about stocks, into your account and say, oh, this is all profit. No, there's a percentage of that's going to be for taxes. If it's if you sold it within a year and a day, that's going to be short-term capital gains. And depending on your tax threshold, that's the allocation that you're going to have to pay for it. If it's over a year and a day, is long term. And again, there's a cap on that. Things like 15% for the most part, but sometimes it does go up to 20. But that's a big percentage, right? I know in the short terms, it can get up to 37 to 39%. So you're talking about a 20% difference if you just hold long term. That's why we always stress it.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. All right.
All right. Let's keep cooking, man. Let's do it.
Moving along.
What we got here?
Money markets and HYSA, high yield savings account, guys. Money market accounts, just another account that you need to be mindful of, maybe at your bank. Like Rashad told you guys, if you do open a brokerage account, your money is going into some form of a money market account in that specific brokerage. Okay. Now listen to this. Money market accounts are based on what's going on in the economy sometimes. And so you might see the rates on those change. Now, they are still a little bit better than a savings account. Okay. And so if you can get your money market account to be at 3.7%, 4%, if you even get 5% on a money market account, it's not a bad place to park your cash while you're deciding what you want to invest in. Okay. Money market is not an investment. So you want to make sure you're not playing a money market game thinking you're investing. No, that money is you trying to devise a game plan for where it's going to go, and you're letting it build and grow while it's sitting. Okay. Until your plan is finalized. A high yield savings account, okay, is a little bit better in terms of the rate of return you can get on your capital that may be sitting in one. Ally investments have some nice rates, okay? Some nice CDs, some nice regular rates if your money is in a checking and or savings account at Ally. SoFi has some decent rates. Goldman Sachs has some decent rates. There are plenty of vehicles with high yield savings rates that make it worth at least getting some consideration, especially during times of uncertainty, during times where you may have doubt about what you're doing, what to do next. These are good vehicles. That's a part of the whole spectrum that you might want to park your money into. Okay. And so these are just money market accounts and high yield savings account. I'll tell you guys this quick story. My wife and I retired when we were 37. I worked in higher education. I worked at Notre Dame. She worked in healthcare. And so check this out. When we retired, we had a wealth team. And my wealth team now, I won't go deep into all of how they allocate our wealth. But one thing they did, we worked to go to the bank and we no longer have savings and checking account. All of our money, we have 11 accounts. Every one of them that's in a bank, a money market and or a high yield savings account. Look at this. He told us to demand that they pay 5% or we leave. So what we noticed was this. One, they gave us the rate. Number two, the rate do go down if you like over time, if you don't go back in and make that same declaration to them. But what we were noticing was that the money we had sitting in our money market and high yield savings account were working on our behalf while we were able to continue to invest, continue to look for real estate and other opportunities, commercial, residential opportunities with the money we had on hand. Okay. And so again, guys, there's ways to be strategic about the wealth building journey using everything that's at your fingertips, from stocks, ETFs, dividends, traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, retirement accounts, 401ks, TSP plans, 453, 403, 457, 403. All of it, guys, can be working for the greater good of your future self. And so that's just a note to kind of share with you guys on that level.
Yeah. High yield savings accounts are, I mean, when you think about it, for the most part, we were taught to put our money in the bank and get a checking account and a savings account. And if you ever looked at the yield on a traditional savings account, it's like 0.003%. So, I mean, you demanded 5%. I kind of like that, man. 5%. Usually you see between 4 and 4.5. So that demand for 5, that was a strong arm.
He told me the strong arm. And that wasn't even my personality type. And I won't even go into it, man. I had one account that was sitting with some bank for a year. They'll remain nameless. And they didn't even tell me that these vehicles existed. Mm. I'm looking like, wow, I had 100K sitting in this account for almost 10 years. It ain't earned nothing. It still was the same exact amount.
Yeah.
I'm still hurt about that one. Don't even get me going down that road.
2 cents a month.
2 cents a month. And so, but when I got with my team and he informed me about that, and it was, he said, the bank worked for you. And that's another thing I don't know if our community understands. You can tell the bank what to do with your money, because if you don't, they're going to lend it out and make a return on your money. And so it was just, it's little nuance. It ain't nothing that's even that deep. It was just like, hey, I want my money in this type of account and I want this percent. If not, I'm leaving. I'm taking it up the street. He already had gave us other options that might that to consider that would do it. They didn't want to see you leave, so they got on the eight ball. And so salute to them.
Real Detroit player.
And then also CDs been going
absolutely
crazy. Like the rates on CDs have been going up a lot too. CDs, 6 month, 12 month CDs, like they've been offering pretty competitive rates these days too.
Yep, we got those as well. Those are other vehicles to consider in addition to ones that's been laid out in this episode.
All right. So I think we got one more slide.
Let's bring it on home.
Bring it on home. And it's just some resources. Troy talked to you guys about Morningstar. I want you guys to add MorningstarInvesting.com. Now, this whole website is good, but there's
Chris,
go ahead.
That's my joint right there.
Yep.
Yo, that's the one.
This the one. And this whole site is good if you guys are investing, if you're new, if you just want to be in the know about what's going on. But there's a tab inside investing.com called calendar.
Ooh.
And so this one helps you know all of those events that are coming up on the day, the week, the month, so that you can kind of be just aware, informed about when CPI is coming, when PPI is coming, when the Fed speech is coming, when the Fed minutes is coming out, other news about the Asian market, the Europe market, the Japan. Like, it has so much information for those that wants to go that deep into it, that you're fully informed on either what's coming down the pipe, what moves and what plans you might want to put in place for something that may be about to happen in the future. But investing.com is one that I want all of you guys to consider. Yeah. Bloomberg.
Chris, I'm going to just add something really quick about investing.com because I think it's important for anybody. And people will hear the word technical analysis, they hear fundamental analysis. I think this is one of those sites that combines both. In fact, if you start opening up some of the charts, it makes it a separate page in itself. And then it compares it by sector, it compares it by industry, it compares it on a broad scale. It is a wealth of information. Plus, they'll tell you the hot streak. So if you ever go to that page or the top 100, it'll tell you what companies are now hitting the hot streak by their criteria. It's one of the best sites that you can use.
Absolutely. For more information, Bloomberg will be one. Just if you want to know information, what's going on with the overall market, economy, geopolitical things that might be coming down the pipe with stocks you know, like, and love that you might be investing in, Bloomberg is a good place. Everybody that rocks with me, we are commanded to watch CNBC on a regular just that's our sports center. That's ESPN for traders. Okay, and so CNBC, you want to just see what tickers are flashing, what are they saying, what the breaking news is at the top of the hour. Every top of the hour at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, CNBC will hit you with breaking news. Oftentimes, these moves can shift the market. So no key time frames in the market as well that your stock may change course or direction at certain hours throughout the day. And this is Eastern time. Okay. But CNBC is another one. And then even though Troy just gave y'all the gem, it's investing.com. I still threw in here TradingView. You can get all this on investing.com, but you TradingView, good charts, Yahoo Finance, Webull, Thinkorswim got good charts. There's things you might want to know in terms of, I use technical analysis, for example, to buy my stocks as well, like to get an entry to see when something has pulled back to the 200-day moving average. That's a little more advanced, but you might get to that place as a beginner. Where do I buy my stocks? When do I buy? If you're not calculating 5% down, 10% down, 20% down, you might want a technical viewpoint of where that stock is at and when is a good entry for you to get it. Yeah. And so that wraps it up, guys. Just a few resources for people.
I'm gonna give them a few more that they can write down.
Go right ahead.
Is one that's filled with a lot of notes. Bar chart, I think is important. I love the support and resistance section on it. A lot of people who are trying to figure out how to read a chart.
Troy, add unusual options on bar chart.
Yeah,
that section. That section is helpful.
And inside of unusual options, it'll tell you the analyst ratings. So you'll see, hey, when they tell you this analyst is now saying it's a buy, well, you can see overall throughout the market how many are saying it's a buy. What's the percentage of people that are saying it's a buy? So these things are things you should look at. I think SMIs is another one, especially around earnings, which we know is quarterly. But it's like the Super Bowl every quarter for these companies to see what they're reporting, what their guidance is. You can see what Wall Street's expecting. You could actually start predicting what you think and what other people on the side are looking at as well to get a kind of a good gauge. I still use Zacks. I think Zacks is a good site. When it's the free one is pretty cool, but the paid one's even better. I'm still using Wall Street Journal. I think it's important, especially when I'm looking for fundamentals. A lot of times they're breaking stories. And so prior to everybody waking up, I got to check what's happening on before it even gets to CNBC. I want to read in Wall Street Journal. If you add all these things, this is a wealth of information, a wealth of places of resources to get knowledge before you make a decision. You have to make the research part of your plan, right? So you can have the stock, make the research a part of your plan because now you're making an educated decision before you make an investment.
I love it.
And then a couple other resources, Market Mondays.
For sure. Market Mondays. Make sure y'all tap in.
1,000,000,000%.
And You Deserve to Be Rich.
The number
you
one.
You Deserve to Be Rich. Hey, guys, we making that number one. Same game, money team. Y'all know what we do. Y'all know how we do. Make sure we push that to number one on the charts. We talk about number one, not the New York Times bestseller list. We talking about number one bestseller. You Deserve to Be Rich. Out now.
I appreciate that. So with that being said, there's still one day. We're running a promo. You can go to You Deserve to Be Rich Deal. .com, You Deserve to Be Rich Deal.com. And if you buy the book, you get 30 days free at EY University, and all the information is on that website and it goes through everything that you need to do. We got to push that. But Chris, I want to thank you for your time. Talk about you as far as, like, you know, your community, your platform, your YouTube channel, like, you know,
absolutely.
People that might not be familiar, like, talk about what do you actually do as far as on the content side.
We built the organic empire, man. Of course, I've saluted you guys along the way because it was just good to see two brothers, two best friends doing what you guys do. But in lateral to you all trailblazing, I've been slowly doing the same and built the organic empire. Like you alluded to, I got a huge Discord community. It's over 50,000 now on the Money Team community. But I'm a teacher, so it's a learning environment. All we do is teach. We teach risk management and how to read the chart, candle structure. We're just big and heavy into that. Of course, what we talked about today, that's the top of the funnel. And then once you get down it, you get to the teaching and learning part. So with me, coaching is required. You do one-on-one coaching. We do group coaching. And we foster that organic community that. And we do this so you guys know, every time you guys do InvestFest, to keep the momentum going, we have a traders meetup. Because one thing I noticed attending InvestFest, there's so much contagious energy still in the room days later that nobody's capitalizing on. So what our community do, we take all the high energy and high performers that's really ready, and we meet up. So we do tours. I'm big on, we have a community that show up. That's why I said we're going to make sure your book get number one, because they going to do what we, that's how we do. But I'm saying that to say we do trader meetups in LA, Chicago, Florida, Miami, and Texas. But it's to keep the momentum going from what they experience, what you guys do. Okay. And so we notice we can't allow no drop off because we still got too much work to do. So the whole community is about live. I'm talking about touching people live, like letting them be accessible. You know what I'm saying? And then every day in the Discord and part of the money, they're two separate things. So they're not mutually excluded. They're two separate things. So if you want a Discord, you get a certain set of services. But if you want a money team, you get a different set of services. That's on a whole nother level. And so we've been able to do that, Rashad, at a high level since 2020, I want to say. And right now it's just it's a beautiful community to be a part of, where everybody is eager to learn, grow, and just be better with their finances.
That's fine. How can they follow you? Like, what's your social
man. I need all the help I can get. We was slow to Instagram, man. So Chris_Sane. There's my name on Instagram, Twitter. Of course, I'm more prevalent on YouTube. And so just my name, Chris Sane, on YouTube, where you can find me there. ChrisSane.com. If guys, you want to join the 100K challenge, that's another thing, Rashad. It was a game changer. We have a legendary 100K challenge, 0 to 100K. So we have a tier of people that join because they're trying to make their first 10K, a tier of people that's trying to make their first 25K, 50K, 75K, and 100K. Man, if I showed you guys the testimonials and the outcomes of that, That's a whole thing in and of itself that really gets people galvanized and mobilized in one place, or shooting for their own individual goal. We have a saying, run your race at your pace. Don't keep up with what nobody else doing on social media. Run your race. If you don't know how to trade, you can't expect to do what Troy able to do. Okay. You got to learn what you got to learn how to just make $100 a day. And so your goal on 100K may be different than a person that come to me from Boeing. He an engineer. He got 600,000, but he just ain't never invested. Your goal might be different than his. And so you have to run your race at your pace. And so that has changed a lot of lives, but it gives us a goal and we walk it out for 12 months. It don't take us that long to hit 100K. I saw that 78K you hit, Rashad. So you already smashing half of the group just on en route to that. But that's how we do. We do 100K in a week and in a month sometimes. And so, but it's a beautiful community as well. And then it's just a bunch of like-minded individuals. One thing I would say, I do coaching, so it gives me a little more insight than your average person. And I talk to the people. It ain't my team. It's me talking to the people. And so I get these stories every day. And one thing I notice is that they are eager to learn. I got the best spirited people. They come with the right energy, come with the right mindset. And I just love it. And a lot of days, which I salute you guys for, when we don't feel like showing up, sometimes it's the love and the energy from the people that energizes you and gets you through and gets you going and gets you up for that next day. And so that's a little bit of it in a nutshell, man.
Salute you, my brother.
Appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. I think this was very helpful and beneficial, and I'm sure a lot of people will gain great insight. And hopefully it could push people to, you know, take the first step. I always say the most important step is the first step.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a lot of people that's kind of on the fence and thinking about it and a little nervous and, you know, so just start, man. It doesn't matter if it's $1,000, $100, whatever you got, start. Be intelligent. Be disciplined. If you're not going to get anything else from out of this, just understand that it's a marathon, right? Like one day at a time, put the money in. It's not something that you're going to become a billionaire overnight, but you can change your situation with discipline over the course of time. So, you know, perfect way to start the new year.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, you know, hopefully everybody that's watching this, if you haven't invested, hopefully, you know, by next week, you guys have your brokerage account set up. You have money in your brokerage account and you'll be ready to, you know, place your first investment, hopefully.
That's it, man. That's the rules for investing, man. Start where you are, use what you can, and do what you can as well. It's the mindset around it is just begin. So from one educator to the next, man, we salute you, brother. This is I'm excited to see people get involved.
Right? I am.
Like, I had this conversation the other day about the proximity to success and wondering, like, you know, there's people around us that have close proximity to us. They haven't opened their brokerage account, right? But somebody's going to encourage them, right? They might hear it from somebody else sometimes. And it's like, all right, this is the starting point. So 2025, we speak about it and it sounds fearful, but this is the most important 5 years that we're going to see. When you're talking about the, obviously from the political landscape, but the way technology is headed, we can't miss this opportunity. And so the best time to start is today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Oh, as always, man. Good. Love.
And thanks to everybody that watched. We'll see you guys next week.
Let's make sure that book is number one.
Yes. You deserve to be rich. Thunder. Make sure you get the book. Get the book. A couple hours left before that first week cycle is over. So we need all book sales help every book sales help. Hard copy is better than audio. So
yeah,
if you go and get the audio, get the hard copy too. If even if you don't read it, it's a
buy both. Buy both.
I've done it plenty of times, man. You read the book while you listen to us read it with you. So that's dope. And it's us. It's us too.
That's a fact.
It's the family.
Yeah. That's a fact. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, peace.
Peace out.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.